I stagger, I swoon, I like you. I can't seem to move, I can't seem to believe. I love you, I Z I sick you turn was one. Z hurt me.
Give your ego, your identity, its center of reference. Our bias tells us that we are a material body that has somehow learned to think. Dancing molecules in our brains create all the ideas and emotions that we identify with. But it is possible to have other experiences, equally valid, equally indisputable, that would tell us that we are much more than a body and ego. Even more than body and mind. Instead of occupying a few cubic feet of space and a narrow sliver of time, we can shift our sense of self to an unbounded reality that has infinite dimensions.
Stop. I can't get loose. Look at me. Don't take your eyes from mine. Who do you see? Who do you wish I were?
to meet an anthropoid-like alien with an interest in your reproductive machinery and gross industrial capacity.
If you want to build a computer, you must go to Redmond to ask permission.
It is one of the great business stories.
Industry where Microsoft defines everything. Yeah. Everything. This is Windows. If you want to build a personal computer, you must go to Redmond to ask permission.
They do. When the Second Industrial Revolution kicked in,
technology was tremendous, the productivity gains soared, and one labor leader put it very, very clearly. He said, with the new labor-saving technologies, free time's coming, because they save labor. The only question we have to resolve, he said, will that free time be leisure or unemployment lines?
Understand what I mean. Simplify. And then, if you had found the form which tells a complicated thing in the simplest way, and you have found this form, then, secondly, repeat it. Repeat it every day. Simplify and repetition. That's the secret of modern propaganda.
Share the productivity gains, keep purchasing power moving, or do we not share it and risk an eroding economy?
Anthropoid-like alien with an interest in your reproductive machinery and gross industrial capacity.
It turns out that Richard Preston was paid $20,000 by the Sloan Foundation to produce that piece of what I call garbage and disinformation.
What do you think when you look out and see the skyline, the city, Los Angeles?
I could never leave it. I mean, I know there's a lot of bull within the suburbs and the ghettos and this downtown area. But all in all, you know, it's pretty much taught me how to survive, you know.
Having crosses burned on their lawn for dressing like niggers.
Whoever this guy is, he must be important to the family. Put his sister on the wire and see what you come up with.
Under and behind and inside everything this man took for granted, something horrible had been growing.
You know, normally a patient would That's an interesting fact. I'm going to ask the number from another Jeopardy.
Tell me about your father.
Tell me about your father.
He was a big man in the neighborhood. Everybody loved him. Very well respected. Governor.
Oh, he passed away?
I just like seeing Governor. Of course he passed away. He was about 12 at the time.
How did he die?
Thank you.
There was some big contact.
What was the relationship
like? Yeah, you know, we were pretty close. We weren't getting along that great right past the war.
Why is it about 12?
I was hanging out in the neighborhood.
How'd that make you feel?
It felt great. It was a wonderful feeling. How'd it make me feel? What do I know?
Were you angry? Were you afraid? Sad?
Maybe all those things.
Any feelings of guilt?
About what?
I'm just back to that call that made me sour. You made me want him to die.
Why would I want my father to die?
Well, you said that you were fighting. He slapped you around because you were rebelling against his authority.
It could look a lot bigger than old decorating church years and years ago.
So this is the rose that you're looking at right here. We have blue, lilac, ivory, and rose. Then we're going to say hi to Carol from Pennsylvania. Carol, meet that.
Really was still something transgressive. Where now, like, kid comes home dressed like Eminem, mom's like, "Oh, hi, dear. What do you want for dinner?"
And while Hunter wouldn't say who he thinks killed John Bonet, only weeks after the Ramsey book was released, former lead detective Steve Thomas published a book of his own. We hear that Patsy Ramsey killed John Bonet.
I don't see much difference between Eminem and the music that Dr. Dre is making now with the Marshall Mathers LP versus what he was doing with The Chronic. It's the same sort of thing, MCs with tremendous skill, the same sort of music, but once again within hip-hop you have whites coming to us holding black figures and black icons as the center of their world.
I mean, it's a straight, before we go on, anybody saw that Behind the Music on Public Enemy? There's an interesting moment in the piece where Flavor and Chuck are talking about how they're doing this music that is totally, you know, damn, the white man this. And actually, Public Enemy never said white man. They always said Jack. They always used the metaphor. Right. They never really said white.
Right.
Very shrewdly, I think. But they were talking about the kind of music they would make, the statement they were making, and they would go on the shelves and it would be nothing but white kids. And they didn't understand it either. And I remember going to see Bob Marley in the peak of Babylon and talking about the white devil. if you will. And again, the crowd is overwhelmingly white. So there is some interesting dynamic there about what that means. I'm not ready to make a final statement. But... Sure, go ahead, please.
A quick follow-up is that, to me, the whole sort of problematic issue with the rap audience becoming mostly white is not a race issue in and of itself. It's not the skin color of the audience. It's that I think that the fact that the audience has become mostly white means that the targeting of the messages within hip-hop has steered away from more political messages towards a gangster rap sort of blaxploitation fetish. I really think that rap has become viewed as this sort of ghetto blaxploitation escapism by white teens, and so the race, the reason that
is it a different group of white teens who are buying Common and Black Star?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think that there's a lot of different segments. I mean, but I think that overall, sort of the broadening of the audience has meant that record executives have seen it as seen their primary marketing tool as a shift towards kind of this, like I said, this sort of blaxploitation fetishization of urban culture's worst, most negative side, and a reliance on the beat rather than the strength of the MCs. I really think that people have not necessarily been nurturing the talent of the MCs, even though there's still good MCs out there. It's mainly like, you know, I think that the supremacy of the beat really has risen above all.
Professor Neil,
I want to reference a couple of things. I'm riffing off a couple of things that Farai said. The first thing in terms of Eminem, I think what's interesting about him is that, you know, the invisible class of people in American society is the quote-unquote PWT, poor white trash. And he's kind of spoke to that class of folks in American society, which has always been invisible, because when we think about poverty in America, we see brothers and sisters in the projects. We never go to Eastern Kentucky. We never go to West Virginia. We never seriously talk about those trailer parks. And I think some of the criticism that he's faced among white critics is not just simply the violence in his work, but because what that represents in terms of that class of people. But by the same token, no one would ever say that he's representing poor white boys. Now, I live in a city up in Schenectady, which is like the capital of PWT, right? And those of us who live in working class communities, I mean, we see folks of all kinds of classes and races and, you know, and economic status, so it's not a big thing. But when folks are trying to deny that these folks exist politically, right, it becomes a problem when someone like Eminem becomes apparent. Now, the other thing that I wanted to riff on is, you know, this conversation between art and commerce. I would suggest that what we have today commercially that's called quote-unquote hip-hop is not art. It's all commerce. You know, when you look at somebody like Puffy, I use Puffy in Mason, and I've been doing all these kind of panels and book tours the last couple of years, and inevitably I start a conversation about, you know, what I call the Rakim and Mace dialectic. You know, here you have someone like Mace, and, you know, let's be honest, when we first heard Mace, folks sit around and saying to themselves, that brother kind of slow, right? You know how we talk about folks, you know, in our community. And when you find out more about the background of Mace, you know, the murder Mace who was making stuff before he got connected to Bad Boy is very different than the Mace who sold all those millions of records. The same thing with Eminem. Eminem had a very much straight, more traditional hip-hop style that he toned down in order to sell the records that he sells. So what happens when there's pressure within the industry to conform to certain kinds of ways? And I mentioned Rakim because I've had on two occasions young kids in the audience want to come at me, right? Because I was critiquing Mace. And these are folks, you know, where historically for African Americans, we talked about our orators, folks who were wordsmiths in our community. And one of the reasons why we could deal with somebody like Rakim was because Rakim fit into that tradition. How do we go from Rakim to Puffy? Right? Puffy makes John Lil sound like he was the best hip hopper ever. Right? And that's, you know, again, referencing something that Farai said. I mean, that's the whole deal. It's not about what's going on lyrically and rhetorically. It's about the beats, which is why Puffy can have a career.
You are tied for the lead.
Seeing him as pale as she was herself, O could almost believe for a moment that he had begun to love her. And then, too, he had never kissed her before.
If you want to build a personal computer, you must go to Redmond to ask permission.
That, you know, a young girl like this could be on the street and this could happen to her, you know? I mean, it's sickening. I mean, well, it makes me sick. It's, I'm going to really be thinking about it tonight, you know?
The people prey on each other. In Hollywood, all the shelters and all the things have been closed off to everyone.
Yeah.
You know, just, if it wasn't for, like, Tin Canteen and LAYN and The Way In and, you know, just there are only a few people come out here and help us.
What kind of leader do you think America should have?
A black lesbian mother. Maybe some get done. We need. My mother used to always tell me, don't go feeding anyone else unless your family's fed. We're not fed in America.
I had nowhere to go. And my stepmother wouldn't let me live with her. My parents were dead. And Hollywood's supposed to be this glamorous place where stars were made, and I wanted to be a screenwriter, so I came out here.
And what did you discover here?
Thousands of homeless people, dirty streets. It's not so glamorous like Entertainment Tonight, or they say it's supposed to be. It's a hard life, I guess. It's, quote, who you know and who you f*** out here.
Say your first name again, there.
I think the president has to be blind, because I've been to the White House. He could look out his back window and see homelessness.
The fourth criteria of a codependent relationship is that it's a dependency that exaggerates the need to control thus producing the insatiable need for outside validation.
I've never seen you there.
I go Tuesdays and Thursdays.
I go Saturday.
Congratulations.
Yeah, hey, to both of us, right?
Have you heard about the guy that invented this thing?
Well, yeah, actually.
There are all kinds of things.
Yeah?
Supposedly, he was born in a mental institution, and he sleeps only 1 hour a night. He's a great man.
Wow.
Do you know about Tyler Durden?
To an imposter the last hour. I'm the real Gary. I just got here. I'm busy tying up the imposter right now. So I'll be putting on some of my real stuff coming up right now.
I didn't hurt you, did I?
Actually, you did.
Thank you for this. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Fight Club.
Bob.
This was mine and Tyler's gift. Our gift to the world.
Look around. I see a lot of new faces. Shut up. Which means a lot of you have been breaking the first two rules of Fight Club. I see in Fight Club the strongest and smartest men who've ever lived. I see all this potential, and I see it squandered. God damn it, an entire generation pumping gas, waiting tables, slaves with white collars. Advertising has us chasing cars and clothes, working jobs we hate so we can buy shit we don't need. The middle children of history, man. No purpose or place. We have no great war. No great depression. Our great war is a spiritual war. Our great depression is our lives. We've all been raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars. But we won't. We're slowly learning that fact. We're very, very pissed off. Yeah. First rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about... Who are you?
Oh, my.
Yeah.
There's a sign on the front that says, Lou's Cat.
I'm fucking Lou.
Who the fuck are you?
Tyler Durden.
Who told you motherfuckers that you could use my place?
We have a deal worked out with Durden.
Huh? Durden's at home with a broken collarbone. You don't own this place.
I do.
How much money is he getting for this?
There is no money.
Really?
Free to all.
Ain't that something?
It is, actually.
Look, stupid fuck. I want everybody out of here right now.
Hey, you should join our club.
Did you hear what I just said?
You and your friend.
You hear me now?
No, I didn't quite catch that, Lou. Still not getting it.
Okay, I got it.
I got it.
I got it. Shit, I lost it. Back! All of you! Everybody back!
Ah, Lou. Come on, man. We really like this place.
Oh. That's right, Lou. Get it out.
Shut up.
Oh, yeah.
That's fucking funny.
Oh, Lou.
Fucking guys, I'm ruining it, I'm telling you. Unbelievable.
You don't know where I've been, Lou.
Oh, my God.
You don't know where I've been.
Lou, please let him keep it low.
Lay it alone.
Fucking use the basement. Christ!
I want your work,
Lou! I want your work!
On my mother's own.
Thanks, Lou. You too, big guy. See you next week. This week, each one of you has a homework assignment. You're going to go out, you're going to start a fight with a total stranger. You're going to start a fight, and you're going to lose.
Hey, watch out, jackass, come on!
Now, this is not as easy as it sounds. Most people, normal people, do just about anything to avoid a fight.
Court early on with obedience to the values of the dominant structure might be that one becomes cogent and thoughtful and wise enough to have those same views. In other words, from our perspective, I'll give you an example. I think here a little autobiography is useful. The only place I've ever worked where I was given definitely to feel that there was a bias that I had to struggle against was when I worked for public broadcasting for Channel 2. I believe that Channel 2 is a superb station, WGBH television and radio, a superb institution, which are monumentally liberal and left-wing. And I think
I don't agree with that.
I know.
In fact, we discuss it.
I know you do. No.
We give many examples in the book to show quite the opposite.
Right. And that National Public Radio, for instance, All Things Considered, another well-done program, is basically the mouthpiece of the liberal left. Now, granted, from my perspective, Ronald Reagan's a little suspect, a little pink, you know. So we stand on different avenues. But I was said to a friend of mine on one occasion, I said, it's always amazing to me that companies like the General Tire Company, RKO General, or Westinghouse, or whichever, will hire me. And he said, well, why? And I said, well, I said, weird views. He said, you know, but think about them for a moment. Your anti-organized religion, which will probably bother the Catholics who own Westinghouse, yes, right? And you believe in all sorts of libertarian nonsense, yes, but you're basically a deep anti-communist capitalist rotor. And I said, yeah. He said, you see, and they know that. They sense that. And I said that no one gets hired unless ultimately you serve the purposes of the company. And he said to me, David, you don't have to change a view that you have ultimately to serve the views of the people who hire you. You work for big business happily because you like big business happily. And, so, and I think he's probably right that without even thinking about it, I always thought of myself as some of the radical that they'd have to, the radical right-winger that they'd have to sort of make allowances for. And he pointed out that, in fact, as you have pointed out in your book, that by the time you get to the point of somebody hiring or not hiring you, you're already part of that establishment in a funny way, whether you know it or not.
No, the only thing I would add is that virtually the same is true of National Public Radio and National Public Television. And in fact, I don't want to just say it. We discuss details in the book in which we point this out. So, for example, one of the case studies that we look into is the 13-part series on the Vietnam War.
Yes.
That was done by the National Public Broadcasting System in cooperation with some overseas affiliates. And we go through it in some detail and point out, I think accurately, that it conforms quite precisely to the predictions of the propaganda model. It takes for granted the basic assumptions of the propaganda system. It prevents a perspective on the war which is very remote from the facts, and which, if we were to read a similar perspective on, say, the Russian invasion of Afghanistan, we would recognize it as output of Pravda. So I think we can go on with that. I mean, over the years, during the period of the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
During the period of the Vietnam War, NPR in Boston, say WGBH, which you regard as left liberal, would simply not permit dissidents to appear. I mean, I was very well known in this area and elsewhere.
Oh, sure. Okay.
But I was on, GBH for, I think, maybe 5 minutes and during the period from 1965 to 1975, maybe 10 minutes, in a very hostile interview with Louis M. Lyons. And that was very typical. The point is, if you didn't accept the fundamental assumptions of the system, as the acceptable liberals do, mm-hmm. you're marginalized. And that's just as much true of NPR as it is of WBZ. In fact, my experience is that I have more access to commercial radio and television than to public.
It's funny. Obviously, I certainly can't challenge your own experiences. I take them as exactly as you give them. I would hope that given the kind of things we and our colleagues on the other news and information and talk-oriented stations are that we would want the controversy and want the perspectives for all the best as well as for all the most self-interested reasons. The self-interested are, we want to be able to say, see how unbiased we are, we got everybody, and the best reasons are, in fact, we want to know what other people have to say. So whether you look at it as an act of altruism, which I think is preposterous, or you look at it at least as an act of good programming, it's grotesque not to permit intelligence spokesmen of various positions to have a good ample time on the air. But, since I started working at Channel 2 during the Vietnam War period in 1971, specifically worked there for 5 years, and then began working at Channel 7, what I saw was the Cora Weiss and Bella Abzug perspective presented again and again on the Louis Lyons News and Commentary Show.
See, that's true, but I think you're missing the point. The important point is the date that you mentioned, 1971. Remember that by 1968, in fact, by early 1968, the corporate elite had turned against the war. In 1968, Averill Harriman and McGeorge Bundy and others were speaking on campuses against the war and holding up these signs. The reason was that we can time it pretty well. After the Tet Offensive made it very clear that this was going to be a long, costly war,
mm-hmm.
It was pretty well decided in Wall Street and corporate centers and the editorial offices of Time Life and so on,
mm-hmm.
that the game wasn't worth the candle and that we'd probably better liquidate this enterprise simply because it wasn't cost-effective. And at that point, you got a very narrow kind of critique of the war appearing across the media, a critique which basically is the kind of critique you get of the for the past year or so. After it was about a year or two ago, a couple of years ago, you can check the Soviet press, the Soviet Union, shift
for the past year or so.
Afghanistan.
After it was about a year or two ago, a couple of years ago, you can check the Soviet press.
It is a dependency that is so crippling that you'd not only become self-neglectful, but what we call woefully self-neglectful. Not just where I neglect myself, but I become woeful in my self-neglect. I don't sleep, I don't eat, I don't do this, I don't do that. I totally neglect myself in a woeful way, in a destructive way. It's not just sacrificing, well, I'd like to go to the movies tonight, but I'll stay home. Ah, you're neglecting yourself, you're neglecting yourself. Not necessarily. Not necessarily at all. But when it becomes woeful, when it becomes a total self-neglect, a total self-neglect is what we call woeful. Damaging self-neglect, where I am hurting myself, masochistically treating myself That's willful self-neglect. And codependency is a dependency in which control is so exaggerated that outside validation is insatiable and so crippling that the neglect is woeful. Now, those are the four criteria. Those are the four criteria. Now, do you have to meet them all? No. But we would suggest here that generally you have to meet more than one. If any of these two, or three, or four conditions are met, and usually in a codependent relationship, all four are met. But if any two, you are in a codependent relationship. You are participating in a codependency. Now, fortunately in your world, now there are those who are dealing with codependency publicly, openly, support groups for AA, support groups for spouses of alcoholics, Al-Anon, or spouses of drug abusers. There are those support groups for abusive parents, for fill in the blank. There are support groups for children in those, and for those who are affected in that same thing. And that's fantastic, finally, and appropriate in a world where codependency is now on the increase due to the phenomena of the decade, due to the lack of upward space in which to mobily move, to put yourself, due to the demands of perfection and performance, due to the lack of thinking and feeling that is pushed and demanded of you. When codependency increases, it is appropriate that there are those places to get help, absolutely. But often what is forgotten in dealing with the codependent, on a point that is so very important to consider, as painful as it is to consider it, and that is a codependency meeting any two or more of these qualities is mutual. Meaning that as this person is demanding adherence to oppressive rules that prevent me from communicating openly, so I have my own set of oppressive rules that I am putting on them. I will not talk to you until you stop drinking. I will not talk to you until you get a decent job. I will not talk to you unless I can do it during your most favorite show. I will not do this unless you meet my criteria. And though the one who identifies themselves as the codependent often doesn't see, but they also, if they will look, have their own set of oppressive rules that eliminate their own and the other person's communication. The diminished capacity that I experience by not being able to love and be loved and give love are also diminishing the other person's capacity. They hold it, or they see it in that capacity, rightly or wrongly, they hold it in that capacity. Well, your behavior is what's making me do this, and I've got to control your behavior in order to be free. And where that relationship has developed such excessive needs and exaggerated needs of control, both parties feel controlled by the other and needing the outside validation of the other. Sure, they'll never get it. Both are crippling and woefully neglecting themselves.
Run off my body's energy.
Until they work. See? You're humming along already. Okay. Existence. Only from antenna.
Thank you.
be on sale at $13.97. And don't miss a word of our new fiction from Jeanette Oak, Lori Wick, and Randy Alcorn. Take a smile from Whittemore's Bookstore back to school. Exit 19A offers 128.
And we're back on the block with Mike Dagan from Auto Country in Abington. So, Mike, what sort of great deal can you tell us about today?
We have several different makes, models, years, styles, and colors, all for under $5,000.
Out of Newton. Everything fitting in its sheath. Like a drawn sword. WZBC. Home of Isaac and the Grand Fig Newton. The origin of American industry right here. It was suggested that along the circuitry of trafficking commerce, one should stick their pail in the path and take out for their self. Something about the Tao there. Take out the profit. Say it is good.
Hey, baby.
New Metaphysics, Gary Geiserman, patrolling the border for your protection. Who protects the border? WZBC out of Newton, 90.3. On the big pan to the vacuous, spaceless, empty of the modern current man, mirror image of me and my current project. WZBC.org. Slow or fast speed, depending on thingless things, otherwise known as cash, unless you live in the prairie land away from the action, growing corn, which isn't a good or bad thing, except it has to be one or the other today. It's a multiple choice test, A or B. I like to A-B it myself so I can choose.
Well, you know who you are. You know what you're doing. You know why you're here. And you know why you're here, what you're doing, and who you are. Each day, every day, as you journey through the nodes of each day, knowing who you are, kind of sure where you are, what you're doing.
I love you.
Completely insane, aren't you? Come on, you can admit it. I can't see you, you can't see me. Cross the border. Well, I wasn't here last week. I'm here now. And we can't speak about next week because it's hard to get that close to reality today. Especially when I'm here in this consensical community. A little too close. It rubs off frequencies and stuff. So I was reading about science recently, again. See what's doing. I was amazed, truly aghast. I was paying attention, focused. I can do that. I was reading over the shoulder of the priests of our cult. I was truly amazed and aghast at what I saw there. Now, in the true spirit of new metaphysics, I tend to leave out certain portions to maintain my feeble attempt at hipness. WZBC being what it is and all, truly amazed. I had forgotten I had an idea about what was going on around here, but I was reminded. I was truly horrified. I don't have to spell it out, I hope. Going till 2 o'clock, probably later. A good 2:30 with the mix and some more sound after that, about 3:30. Here in Boston, Massachusetts, home of the boomtown, the bubble that will not burst, Greatest bull market in the history of the civilization, thought of as the only civilization by some. Not by me, however. All I can say, my friends, better increase your net worth post haste. We'll be slipping into the third world. But there are people alive today, anywhere from 5 to 25 to 50,000 people. You're probably not one of them. Who are doing something else? Something else with things seemed and deemed impossible to be something else, but yet they are. And I found that after you do something else for a while, it gets to be a lot easier to do that.
Have an industry where Microsoft defines everything. Everything. This is Windows. If you want to buy, if you want to build a personal computer, you must go to Redmond to ask permission. If you want to build a computer, you must go to Redmond to
ask
permission.
It is one of the great business stories.
Space, that the United States will be able to win every war and also suppress any organizing that is attempted against corporate globalization in any part of the world.
Was somewhat unremarkable. Nothing out of the ordinary occurred from the others I've seen. He had very little reaction. He said nothing other than no sir when asked if he had a last statement to make. He exhaled heavily one time and then went silent. Thank you.
Deputy City Attorney. Can I help you?
Yes, my name is Matthew Bennell, B-E-N-N-E-L-L. I'm a Deputy Public Health Inspector.
Yeah, is this another call about imposters?
Yes.
We're the first agency you've called?
Yes.
That's good. Listen, Mr. Bennell, we don't want to create a panic.
And no one in my department knows.
Look, Mr. Bennell, I'm going to ask you to stay by your phone for a while. I'm going to have somebody call you back and take down everything you know.
All right, thank you.
He will always be my baby. He's my son. I'm a mother. I carried him under my heart. He's my child. If I could cut off both my arms and Paul would get better, I would do it.
Undoubtedly, one of the things I like to point out about serial killers is that even when you ask the FBI how many are at large, they can only tell you about the ones that are leaving body trails.
When he had that outside validation to win their approval, he exaggerated needs of control, and people end up woefully neglecting themselves and their families. Even within the beautiful realms of metaphysics, codependencies can't develop, but it must be not only that I feel that, but it's there in a mutuality. That in that sense, God generates the codependency, and yes, codependency is an influence that is destructive, obviously by its very definition. Codependency is a destructive influence. Negative ego is a destructive force. When you combine a destructive influence with a destructive force, the result is singular and obvious. Destruction. And you see, in a world with these monumental changes, with shifting paradigms, with new patterns of causation, with a past that is relinquishing its power and a future that is gathering its influence, with a global community in which it is now small, such that actions and reactions cannot be isolated, where there seem to be problems that have no solution, where there is upward mobility and nowhere to go with the demands of perfection and performance, when you are discouraged to think and feel at a time when thinking and feeling is the only answer in many cases, and in the chaotic, in the panicking, in the insanity and in the pity that is so much a part of your world and increasingly so, it is very easy to slip from a dependency upon a negative ego into a codependency, where you slip into a relationship with your own negative ego where there are strict rules to follow and you are not allowed open communication, not allowed to think or feel and express your thinking and feeling, where your capacity is diminished to initiate or participate in loving relationships because of the dependency that you've held upon your negative ego. You've convinced yourself that your negative ego is controlling you, and unless you control your negative ego, you'll never be free. You've convinced yourself that in that sense, control, I gotta control it and you and my child and my adolescent and the weather and the day and the night and everything about everything that's happening, or I'll never get anywhere. I gotta meditate 4 times in the morning, gotta run my energy, gotta do this, gotta talk to my counselors, gotta work with the co-creators, gotta do 14 different meditation techniques. And if I do, I'm gonna get all this validation, and I end up neglecting myself and neglecting those around me because of the dependency upon even the destructiveness of my own negative ego. And therefore, in your world now, more than ever, it is important to recognize and acknowledge, forgive, and most certainly change to end that codependency.
For I march to the battles of the German trench in a war that was bound to end all wars. Oh, I must have killed a million men, and now they want me back again, but I ain't marching anymore. It's always the old to lead us to the wars, always the young to fall.
I have a dream. Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z. Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z. Newton. Z-Z-Z-Z-X-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-W-Z-B-C-Z-Z-Z-Z-X-Z-Z. What does it all mean? Z.
They can only tell you about the ones that are leaving body trails.
But he punished her for her disobedience that night, so cruelly that she lost consciousness.
Don't take your eyes from mine. Who do you see?
Who do you wish I were?
No, I won't tell you.
Yes, you will. Who? Look at me.
What?
Who? Who do you wish I were?
Kiss me.
We need to talk.
Okay. Where to begin? With your constant absenteeism? With your unpresentable appearance? You're up for review.
Your grandparents' generation organized, they unionized, they politicized, they worked with government, they put pressure on industry.
You shut up and you pay attention.
Told me that he was hoping that it would rain on the day he died, the day he was executed. He got what he wished, more ways than one.
Bob always accusing me of being too nice. I'm too nice to him, he says. I should be meaner. I'm not really a very mean person, actually. I just like to do this stuff to people's bodies.
So I drove back to Long Island to think. The whole thing just broke my heart. It felt like there was nothing left to ask and nothing left to do.
And challenge this executive order, and challenge the decentralization of policing that you will hear throughout this afternoon ought to be in the hands of the community. Whereas the Conyers bill said we ought to have the power to call them into accountability with civilian complaint review boards with power.
That's right.
We ought to have the power to question those we pay and question those that take oaths of office. We're not anti-police, but we are anti-police brutality. We are anti-crime, and we fight criminals whether they have on blue jeans or blue uniforms. A criminal is a criminal.
Jack's complete lack of surprise.
What?
Let's pretend you're the Department of Transportation, okay? Someone informs you that this company installs front seat mounting brackets that never pass collision tests, brake linings that fail after 1,000 miles, and fuel injectors that explode and burn people alive. What then?
Are you threatening me?
No.
Get the fuck out of here. You're fired.
It's basically the good technique. And then the footnotes add on an empty stomach, in a dark room, feeling comfortable. And then sit down, shut up, pay attention. It's something which happens behind the eyelids. It's not eidetic hallucination.
Now for 4 weeks, the Germans were really afraid to come into the Warsaw Ghetto. When they came in with tanks, they decided to liquidate the Warsaw Ghetto.
What can I say to you? What can I say to you to make you see?
Busy lab, Elizabeth. We're not supposed to test flowers. They go to the Department of Agriculture.
We know where they go. I think this is our problem. I think it is affecting people.
How?
The matrix is telling my brain that it is juicy and delicious.
To have it done to them, I love to do it to them.
No.
Nelson would have you believe. We were not aware of the concentration camps. Not aware. Where were we? Where were we when Hitler began shrieking his hate in the Reichstag? Where were we when our neighbors were being dragged out in the middle of the night to Dachau? Where were we when every village in Germany has a railroad terminal, where cattle cars were filled with children being carried off to their extermination?
Yes, like eidetic hallucination. I've been talking about this kind of stuff now for about 10 years publicly like this, and one of the major things, the major conceptual and linguistic problem to get over is to actually convey to people what's being talked about, because probably I would assume 95% of the people in this room have something under their belt which they call drug experience. But did you know that yours is different from everybody else's? And that these things range from, you know, mild tingling in the feet to, language fails. And the thing to put across is the reality of the presence of this thing. And this is the importance in talking to a group with an interest in transpersonal psychology. The situation that we now reside in is not one of seeking the answer, but facing the answer. The answer has been found. It just happens to lie on the wrong side of the fence of social toleration and legality. And so we're just forced into this strange little war dance where everybody knows that psychedelics are the most powerful instrument for the study of the mind conceivable. And yet, a lot of people are still ratomorphically involved in the academic and universal.
Fully serviced and a popular time of year for an inexpensive.
Structure were located in front of the front spar, whose location is indicated. How did our group determine the breakup sequence? We began by examining portions of the structure in great detail.
You keep me on the payroll as an outside consultant, and in exchange for my salary, my job will be never to tell people these things that I know.
Many are at large. They can only tell you about the ones that are leaving body trails.
Here, in this year of exploration, not only a time to be free of your self-pity, but a time to end the codependency that you have or are developing with your very own negative ego. And so to do that, and to help you do that, not only to learn, but to experience. And not only to learn and experience, but actually to begin walking away, not from your ego, but from your negative ego and the codependency. We begin by looking at the origins of this thing called your ego in the first place. So often we have heard from individuals and in various times in groups If I create my own reality, as though that were a conditional point. If I create my own reality, why would I have created a negative ego? Why would I have done that? And when did I do it? What lifetime was it that I was so stupid and so foolish as to, so ignorant of everything, so naive as to... Well, it's important to understand that initially you did not create a negative ego. You created ego. You created ego. That went sour. So to begin in that same thing, we need to look at this creation of ego. Where, what is it? Why is it? And we would suggest here that to understand that, we have to take a very cursory glance at the development of consciousness. For as you as consciousness decided to grow, one of the first questions that you answered, do you want to grow? Yes. Okay. If you answer no, then forget it was even asked. But...
So they're now moving towards developing this idea of putting weapons into space and using this ballistic missile defense system as a Trojan horse to make the people think that they're going to make this system to defend us, where they really want offensive weapons in space for global control.
Actually, masochists are really cool people, definitely. My favorite people are masochists. One more. Oh, it is so beautiful. And what's nice is that these marks will last maybe a day or so, and every time, they may even hurt a little bit, every time he thinks about them, he'll remember, he'll look at bruises that I gave him, and we'll talk about that, and it'll get us really hot and all excited.
And domination, as they say in their own documents.
What are the economic interests in space?
Business, how Bill Gates, in his relationship with IBM, got and owned the operating system. Right.
I don't even have to come into the office. I can do this job from home.
Who the fuck do you think you are, you crazy little shit?
Oh, I never tested that water. Maybe I was afraid about what might show up.
It's so hot.
Very hot.
Can you give me the other thing?
Oh, this.
I want too hot, but it's too hot.
Too hot.
Thank you.
Thank you very
much. God bless you. Sure. Maybe tomorrow's better, huh?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Okay, sure.
So there I was, back at my apartment. Everything was in order, but it just wasn't comforting anymore.
$120 billion.
I tried to rewrite my gothic comedy, but it still wasn't going that well.
Security?
I am Jack's smirking revenge.
Crazy little shit.
And if you answered no, you would have forgotten that it was ever asked. But nonetheless, you answered yes, and then that brings a series of questions, not the least of which is, do you want to do it in a density that's called physical? And you said yes.
Too many Russian soldiers are dying, there's drugs expanding, the army's collapsing. In fact, very similar to the coverage that you found here in the latter stages of the Vietnam War, and that's the period you're sampling.
Right, so you're saying that by the time, in early 1971, when I began work as a commentator on television, my perspective, which I was one of the last of the people to support the war again, was certainly so bizarre.
He must look out his window like this.
We do have an amazing ability to not see what we don't want to see. Reality is too difficult. In other words, the same things that, the same ways that my father existed within his family, he also existed as president. He also fell prey to those same things.
Since the 1950s, on research and development of space weapons, these people realized that this is where the new arms race.
They can just start taking people out real quick. Just recently, March 12th, he took out a very close friend of mine named John Bearfield. It was like I could see him before he went down there to the Wallace unit to get executed. And he was looking around, you know, like this is the last time I'm going to see this place. And you would think someone would be happy, you know. Man, I'm glad this is it. Man, I don't never have to look at this place no more. But you can just tell by looking in his eyes, you know, that wasn't the case.
For the next 40, 50 years and more, they can continually build and replace satellites and weapons, and it'll be the biggest open-ended boondoggle the Earth has ever seen.
It's more than that now. I've been working in video for 25 years myself. But if you think of the 20 to 30 year period, that's about a good time to think of something maturing. And I think we're seeing now a second and third generation of artists who grew up with video, who are familiar with it, and who are using it very effectively.
I think of it here at the Whitney Museum.
Mm-hmm.
You think of,
right.
other institutions. Is it now significant a part of most?
This is a sparring program, similar to the programmed reality of the Matrix. It has the same basic rules like gravity.
Oh! What the hell are you doing?
That hurt.
Why would you do that? Oh, my God. No! Please stop! What are you doing? Oh, God, no, please! No! For some reason, I thought of my first fight with Tyler. No! And behind and inside everything this man took for granted, something horrible had been growing.
Now look, give me the paychecks like I asked, and you won't ever see me again.
And right then, at our most excellent moment together.
Oh, thank God. Please don't hit me again. Please.
Telephone, computer, fax machine, 52 weekly paychecks, and 48 airline flight coupons. We now had corporate sponsorship. This is how Tyler and I were able to have Fight Club every night of the week.
And you said yes. To those same series of questions, we said no, and therefore the differences between us began. But nonetheless, you said yes. And then that sends a series of questions, not the least of which is, do you want to do it in a density that's called physical? And you said yes. You didn't just pop into a human form and start living a high life of physicalness. Not at all. What you first began was as energy. And to sort of illustrate this, you began as energy. Raw energy. With no form, no distinction, no direction, just raw energy. As that energy, you were searching for something. And what you were searching for, in your language, would be called God, or in what we call God, Goddess, and more specifically, all that is. Raw energy is in search of all that is. And from its perspective, its concept of all that is, causes it to grow and to form itself, to create a form, to create a form of energy that is called subatomic.
Bit more, and he says, oh, well, you know, we have to cooperate with our allies, we have to honor the treaties, but really, bottom line, Gore and Clinton have been pushing all of this stuff. There's really not much difference between the Democrats and the Republicans anymore on any of these issues, whether it's militarization or globalization. And they're all serving the corporate paymasters, as Ralph Nader says. One final question.
We have such a history together. We'd make a great team. A dynamic duo. Who else do you know touches the world with synthetic hands? Who else do you know has been locked out of the real world for years and is now just learning to be free?
You're evil, Maxine.
Do you have any idea what it's like to have two people look at you with total lust and devotion through the same pair of eyes? Wow. No, I don't suppose you would.
Thank you.
do you want in this chair?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. Everybody does. What do you see? Come on, tell me.
It's okay, John.
Come on, baby. Who?
Don't make me. I can't make you do anything. I'm in fucking prison, man. You're gonna be tied up here, gagged.
His name was Padraic. The Irish spelling.
Fuck the spelling.
Padraic Boyle. He was 17 years old. I was 19.
Hey, are you 17 and 19?
Oh, I'm 19. He worked for us. We owned a fleet of coaches. Padraic and his father washed them. But that didn't matter. We were friends. He liked me. I know he liked me.
Cut to the chase.
Cut to what chase? There wasn't any chase.
Get to the good part.
It's all good part.
Get to the sex one night and day.
We started wrestling. Suddenly Padraic put his hand down there. He could feel I was hard. And he said, "What is this? And what the bloody hell is this, mate?" He took off my belt, wrapped it around my wrists. He raised my arms over my head and hung them to a hook along the wall. Then he unfastened my trousers and let them drop to my ankles. He undressed himself, took a chair, very like this one. Right at me. Didn't move, not even the slightest undulation of his hips. And then he came. And all he let out was this one soft.
What did he say?
After a while, he opened his eyes, stood up, and kissed me lightly on the lips. No man has ever kissed me before. My heart stopped beating. He was going to tell me he loved me. Instead, he said, "I've doused this place with petrol. I'm lighting a match. You have 3 minutes to get out alive. Good luck, 007. Then he laughed and walked out. Whistling. He never wanted to play again. Last time I saw him, he was overweight, father of four, and still washing our coaches. But that's who I still see there. Every time.
Who else do you know? That's a multiple murderer, just like you.
Says we were not aware of the extermination of the millions. He would give you the excuse. We were only aware of the extermination of the hundreds. Does that make us any the less guilty? Maybe we didn't know the details. But if we didn't know, it was because we didn't want to know.
Traitor! Traitor! already said that I'm going to do all of the testing. You don't have to lift a finger, can I?
You've been consistently late, Elizabeth, and you're behind in your work. So I'll do the test for you.
Thank you.
It'll take 48 hours.
Oh, I'm 24.
I can't understand why you've become so emotional about a little flower.
Hello?
Mr. Bunnell?
Yes.
You're with the health department.
Yes, that's right.
This is Ted Jessup, the mayor's special assistant.
Yes.
You've come across something strange in the last few days?
Yes.
Well, I'd like to suggest that we meet in Union Square. We can't talk over the phone.
Right away.
So then you'll meet me here again tomorrow, right, Mr. Bunnell?
Yeah.
Now, don't say a word to anyone. Keep it quiet.
Whatever you say. Operator, now, I put in a quarter.
This is Judy Hinkle, the mayor's special assistant.
Yes, my name is Matthew Bunnell.
The mayor's in conference right now, but he wants you to know that Dr. Kipner called him personally to express his concern as well. And Mr. Bunnell, we're asking for your discretion from now on because this whole thing might be abating.
Hello?
Matthew Bunnell?
Yes?
I'm Michaels. I'm with the Federal Preparedness Agency.
Yes?
Now, these reports of strange, unexplained diseased bodies, but my understanding is that you haven't actually analyzed anything, and you have no tissue samples.
No, I'm...
Mr. Brunel, it does seem you're just winging your conclusions. Please keep an open mind.
I had no intention at all of...
Don't mention to anyone about duplicate bodies, for God's sakes.
I was going to treat it just...
Excuse me, my other phone is ringing.
Yes?
This is serious business, Mr. Brunel.
Hello?
Is this just a case of paranoia, Mr. Brunel?
No.
Wait, you know what that looks like, Mr.
Brunel? Have you seen anything?
We don't want to create a panic.
No, we have the primary authority in this matter.
Be extremely cautious.
A complex problem.
I think the horizon is bright.
People are
returning to normal.
No. She all right. She better now. Much better now.
Did your husband ask you to come here?
No. I want everybody to see that I'm back to myself again.
No, wait, please.
I'll see you soon, I hope.
This is $750 billion. If it's a farm or a small business, that can be
She just needs something to help her sleep. Tomorrow should be good as new. I would suggest you get some sleep, too. You've done everything you possibly can. You just need something to help us sleep. Tomorrow should be good as new.
So should something be done to help them?
To help them, of course.
But keep in mind, there are millions of businesses in America. We're talking about 54,000.
54,000.
It's very important.
Just you get some sleep too. You've done everything you possibly can.
Programs. Similar to the programmed reality of the Matrix. It has the same basic rules, rules like gravity. What you must learn is that these rules are no different than the rules of a computer system. Some of them can be bent. Others can be broken.
I'll bet you if I had a tractor driving contest in any of those 3,000 people, I would win.
Torturing me on purpose?
I've fallen in love.
I don't think so. You know why? Because I've fallen in love! And this is what people who have fallen in love look like.
Well, you pick the unrequited variety. It's very bad for the skin.
If I were writing a script, how would I want Paul's story to end? In bank robber films, they get shot up in a hail of bullets, going out with one final bang. If this were a horror movie, the villagers would gather to kill the tortured creature. But the truth is, I didn't want the bad ending for Paul.
Hello, Mr. Berman. This is the arch criminal again. I've been trying to reach you. Well, none of that. Remember that.
can. I know I've been leaving a lot of messages.
Hello? Paul.
Yes.
Hello there.
It's hard for me to feel close to people. I think it's hard for Paul, too. I guess what I relate to most is the movies. I don't know if it's our history, chemistry, or some kind of weird gravitational pull, but I needed Paul and wanted him back in my movie.
You're seeing is millions of nanomachines suspended in colloidal solution, absorbing the glass molecules and using them to regenerate the snake. The nanocells are silicon-based, so they need, you know, glass to regenerate. But if you separate the character module from the polymer neural net. Ah, don't bite, Liz. You get nanodeath.
The Carl Weiss, Bell Abzug, etc. types were regarded within the liberal mainstream by that point, rather than as left-wingers on
well,
that subject.
Well, insofar as, I mean, I can't say everything that Cora Weiss said on radio and television. I didn't hear it. But
no, of course.
Knowing what she did say, I mean, I would think that she was, what she was, to the extent that she was allowed on, permitted on, it was because she was not presenting a fundamental critique of the war. I mean, if you were presenting a position that said, well, take, say, Anthony Lewis's position.
Yeah.
That's pretty far out on our spectrum.
Yes.
That the war began with blundering efforts to do good, but by 1969 it became clear that it was a disaster,
mm-hmm.
and that we have no right to try to save democracy in South Vietnam. We tried to defend it. It was a noble cause, but it didn't work. We don't have a right to do it, and we're killing too many people, and so on. As long as you took that view, you could be... You had media access after major corporate centers turned against the war by about 1968. And you could see it happen. I mean, you could see, say, when Johnson called the so-called wise men to Washington in early 1968 to advise him,
yes.
the Dean Acheson's and the Clark Cliffords and others, and they told him this is not the right thing to do. You've got to cut back. It's harming the American economy. Stagflation's beginning, and so on and so forth. And the Pentagon was against the war at that point because the army was collapsing, and so on. At that point, the consensus shifted to a critique on tactical grounds of the war, but the kind of criticism that said, "Look, it's wrong to attack South Vietnam," that was not voiced in the media. In fact, I've been looking for. We attacked South Vietnam. Starting certainly from 1962, that's when John F. Kennedy sent the U.S. Air Force to start bombing rural South Vietnam, which is what we call an invasion when other people do it.
Mm-hmm.
From 1962 until today, I've been looking to see if it's possible for anyone in the media...
The components, and we want to draw this out because it makes a very interesting pattern. On those that are listening to it on the tape, on those here, we're going to describe as we are drawing... simply what we're doing. The first point is desire, and so we're going to draw that near the bottom in a circle. And that's our first point, desire. It's where you begin. You must have that first as the component. All right, the next component is a clarity of intention, and we're going to draw this approximately 3 inches above the circle we just drew as another circle. And that is clarity. From desire, you develop the clarity. All right, now for the next step, which is a combination of impeccability and vision. We're going to draw these as two circles, approximately 3 inches above the circle of clarity, but we're going to draw them out away from the center point so that we are extended now to the right. We're going to draw the circle of vision. To the left, we're going to draw the circle of impeccability. What produces impeccability? Clarity and desire produce in impeccability. Clarity of intent and desire produce vision. Impeccability stabilizes the vision. Vision gives purpose to the impeccability. So now we have a figure that has one circle with a circle on top of it, with then spread to the left and right two other circles. And we have drawn lines to connect all these points. Level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4, elegance. Out of vision and clarity and impeccability, you develop elegance. So we draw a line straight up from clarity, veering to the left from vision, veering to the right from impeccability, to the intersection of all three lines, in the center again, and we have elegance. From elegance develops then the fifth level, which is courage and joy. Joy is a product of elegance. It is a product of vision. Courage is a product of elegance and a product of impeccability. Courage and joy comprise the fifth level and thus are linked. The courage and the joy of discernment and growth. Discerning, to tear apart, to grow, to put back together again. In order to grow, you must be able to discern. And out of discernment, growth. And so that it is not destruction and euphoria or manic, the element of elegance.
Ejecuciones hubo en Cuba.
In La Cabaña, more executions happened than anywhere else in Cuba. Many of these executions were very violent. And Guevara, along with Raúl and Fidel Castro, was the person who most supported them.
Justice at La Cabaña. The new government put on show trials.
In the sports palace, 17,000 people in carnival atmosphere watched the revolutionary tribunal of three men conducting Havana's first war crimes hearing. Major Sosa Blanco, 51, was accused of murder, torture, robbery. Among numerous witnesses against Blanco was a 12-year-old boy, Angelio Estrada. Above the shrieks of the gallery, the loudspeakers carried the testimony. Even before it was fully heard, the crowd shouted, "Kill him!" This was justice in Cuba, revolution style. Apparently, Blanco remained calm as the youngster pointed a finger at him and cried, "He killed my father." It's almost needless to say, the prisoner was found guilty and sentenced to death.
He saw it as a necessity, a necessary first step in the creation of a new state, to clear out the old. Now, I know it's open to lots of issues and debates and questioning, but what he said, for example, in one speech was, we cannot show any mercy to those who were responsible for the oppressive character of the Batista regime. But I think he saw it as a necessary cleansing.
under and behind and inside everything this man took for granted.
Payment completed successfully. Thank you for the payment. The payment has been recorded successfully and will take effect within the next several days for payment process cycle. Make note of the transaction criteria for your records. Transaction criteria: payment confirmation number 20,505,119,535,138,327,752.
Yours is that even when you ask the FBI how many are at large, they can only tell you about the ones that are leaving body trails. And obvious clues behind, but an individual like John Gacy was arrested, you know, after 5-6 years of killings, they didn't know he was up to anything.
Until.
Exactly, the last case, number 33, nailed him, and then all of a sudden it's, whoops, wow, we've got a problem.
20,505,119,535,000.
Localized sequence segments were then developed based on the observable features in each portion. Eventually, individual sequence segments were combined until a cohesive and comprehensive breakup sequence consistent with the overall body of evidence was generated. We also used stress analysis to provide confidence that proposed scenarios were consistent with structural properties and expected failure modes. Based on our detailed examinations of the structure and supported by the results of stress calculations, the sequencing group determined that the breakup of the airplane initiated with the fracture of spanwise beam 3 at its upper end. We found that the separated beam rotated forward and impacted the front spar. This drawing shows an overall right side view of the wing center section, depicting how spanwise beam 3 rotated forward. Also, the various members of the wing center section have been color-coded to reflect their recovery positions. Note that most of spanwise beam 3 and the front spar are red, indicating their early release from the structure.
The club culture that's attached to it seems to be outpacing it dramatically. When we were looking for places to go, oftentimes we'd end up at Twilo in New York, say, or Buzz in D.C., somewhere like that, that sort of have that same kind of a vibe, and it's inside, and I was wondering why people think that's going on, you know, if that's law-driven, or if that's just something that is getting to be mainstream enough that there are a lot of people that don't want to be breaking law as much. A couple of other things. I really like this psychedelic disco comment, just in that it's sort of the same kind of an apolitical good time movement. But the idea that MDMA is a hallucinogen, I think, is a little bit flawed. It's a little bit more along the lines of an empathogen. I had Alexander Shulgin, who's, I guess people call him the stepfather of ecstasy. He's one of the people who's really responsible for its popularity right now. I had him come speak at our university and spoke with him a little while about that. And that seems to be a really important point to bring up. It's really not particularly a visual drug. It has a lot to do more with relating to other people.
Okay, Chip, you get us to...
some sleep. Get some sleep. Get some sleep.
Sure. See ya.
Others!
Oh, that can be exhausting. New metaphysics. And the radio. Miracle of modern science. They take a full hand and go low ball. And then the Ministry of Communications enters. What the hell am I doing here, man? It's a good one, though. Planned various frequency waves over. I'm in my element. Knee deep in the mire. Big smile on my face. Gotta watch the border. The crossover. And always, ladies and gentlemen, be aware of the phenomenon of triangulation of fire, given a quite prominent role in the teleplay, kind of a bedrock of the enthrallment, use, don't abuse type of thing. At a Newton, where it all began, several frequencies over, tell you something I don't know. It's thrilling. It definitely is. You've already been injected.
Under and behind and inside everything this man took for granted, something horrible had been growing.
Don't pull the plug now.
Now, nobody was the center of Fight Club except the two men fighting. The leader walked through the crowd, out in the darkness. Tyler was now involved in a class action lawsuit with the Pressman Hotel over the urine content of their suit. I am Jack's wasted life. Tyler dreamed up new homework assignments. He handed them out in sealed envelopes.
Stop for a second.
Hey, what are we doing?
Turn around.
What are we doing?
Homework assignment.
What kind of homework assignment?
Human sacrifice.
Hey, is that a gun? Please, please tell me that's not a gun.
It's a gun.
What are you doing?
Meet me in the back.
No, no, hey, don't fuck around.
Meet me in the back.
On a long enough timeline,
fuck,
the survival rate for everyone drops to zero.
Speaking inside the artificial cage of modern scientific seventh level of superstructured phenomena right now. Artificial cage. Where natural laws dance on pinheads' heads. I thought I knew the laws of resonance. And then I studied modern electronics. Where did it go? Dissolved into 1/1 instead of over 1 dissolving me. Well, I was literally orthogonal to beside myself. Now, fortunately, I'm at home there and could follow the action, however Byzantine, and not even backwards, it was. And what a marvel I saw there in the halls of science and underwear for the blind. Not a law of resonance to be found. Now, this is quite a contraption invention. I take full credit. The perfect setup. Virtual straight man. Ex eunt. For those following with their playbills, of course. WZBC.org on the big striated control panel in the sky, currently being held hostage by the I swear to you, actually. Some years hence, no digital technology to be seen. Now, what will replace that? Well, just about anything. Take your pick. I certainly don't have to spell it out for you. High demographic crowd that you are of the Z, the not quite ready for radio station, the high life of the lower Fiji semi-archipelago. I have this on good knowledge. Native sitting in Quonset huts with TVs not plugged in. Really dig this station. A lot of hybridization going on there too. Miscegenation. Cross over fertilizing. Rampant. And I personally believe this is a very good thing because whenever you go out of the set, you can take science and kiss that fucker goodbye.
Stop, what are you doing? Come on.
Hands on your back?
God.
Give me your wallet. Raymond K. Hessel, 1320 Southeast Banning, Apartment A. Small cramped basement apartment, Raymond.
How did you know?
Just to give shitty basement apartments letters instead of numbers. Raymond, you're going to die. Is that your mom and dad? Mom and dad are going to have to call up kindly Dr. So-and-so. Pick up your dental records. Want to know why? Because there's going to be nothing left to face.
Oh, come on.
An expired community college student ID. What'd you study, Raymond?
Stuff?
Were the midterms hard? I asked you what you studied.
Bioenergy mostly.
Why?
I don't know.
What did you want to be, Raymond K. Hessel? The question, Raymond, was what did you want to be? Answer him, Raymond. Jesus.
Veterinarian.
Animals.
Yeah, animals. So...
Stuff. Yeah, I got that. That means you have to get more schooling.
Too much school.
Would you rather be dead?
No.
Would you rather die here on your knees in the back of a convenience store? Keeping your license. Gonna check in on you. I know where you live. If you're not on your way to becoming a veterinarian in 6 weeks, you will be dead. Now run on home. Run, Fork, run!
I feel ill.
Imagine how he feels.
Come on, this isn't funny. That wasn't funny. What the fuck was the point of that?
Tomorrow will be the most beautiful day of Raymond Chaos's life. His breakfast will taste better than any meal you and I have ever tasted.
You had to give it to him.
Come on.
He had a plan. And it started to make sense in a Tyler sort of way.
Other 98% of the American people literally get nothing from this. That's another thing I think that it's important. This was the first file. This is the bill that was sent up for an increase in the earned income tax rate for low-income working people who have three or more kids, before doing more through the child care tax credit, before a long-term care credit for people who have to take care of their elderly or disabled loved ones, and long-term care, before doing anything to help having families.
For increase and incentive, we want to get on well off the economic status of the poor areas.
Let me just mention something else.
You'll open your eyes will open, and you'll be sitting in a chair, a quite ordinary chair. One, two, three, at the count of five, your eyes will open, you'll open your eyes, fully awake, fully alert, feeling marvelous, feeling alive, feeling vibrant. Four, you're beginning to move about, and five, open your eyes, wide awake, full of energy, full of vitality, feeling alive, feeling vibrant. With the secret of excellence inside of you, where no one can take it away. components, as we talked about before break. You experienced each of them in the meditation, abstractly and concretely. Well, I didn't experience too much, you may say. That's all right. You're beginning then. Others of you felt overwhelmingly. That's all right. You've already begun. There will be some of you that will do excellence better than others. It doesn't mean that you are better as a consciousness. Then the next level, above that, as we've drawn these two circles, that would be directly above level three. There is another level, which we'll draw here. This level, understanding, which is directly above courage, and wisdom, which is directly above joy. The product of courage and elegance is understanding. The product of joy and elegance is wisdom. Understanding and wisdom are linked. The last we're going to call, putting right in the center, excellence, as that multi-level beyond yourself that makes you more capable than a human, is a combination. It is a combination of understanding, of wisdom, and of elegance. There is the pattern of excellence drawn out and interlinked. And if we've drawn all our lines properly, there ought to be 22 lines of interconnection that weave together to create excellence. It is a difficult concept to grasp. It is a fluid, moving process. There are three components. There is the masculine energy of impeccability of will, of courage and understanding. There is the feminine energy of vision, imagination, of joy and of wisdom. And there are the points of union, desire, clarity of intention, elegance and excellence. Three columns that interrelate and interweave. This may look familiar to many of you as a pattern that is often called a tree of life. And we would suggest here that it fits very neatly, not with everything, but with excellence. As you move up, creating from the desire the clarity, and bring them together, the impeccability and the vision, not one and the other, but both of them together. Bring them together to generate the elegance, and from the elegance, to allow the outgrowth of that, the courage to discern combined with the joy of growing, of building, of creating, letting that lead to the understanding and to the wisdom. It will deliver you at the doorstep of excellence, which is the door to that which is beyond. The movement home, the direction, the component that you're looking for. To have the desire, the clarity, the impeccability, and the vision. To develop the confidence in self. The elegance, the uniqueness of self, the ability to discern and to build, to grow, with understanding and wisdom, being loving, the fourth component, excellence, the structure, complete. As you play with this little diagram, and as you work with the interweavings of these particular concepts, and you overlay this to anything you are doing, then you will do so with excellence. Winning the race, thus running an excellent race, and doing so in proper form, thus running excellently. And doing so with this pattern and these particular components, doing it with excellence. And the goal is not winning the race. It's doing it with excellence. So what stands in the way? What are these pitfalls and what are these traps that you get yourselves caught in your pursuit of excellence? One of them, of course, has to be ego. The ego that wants to take the excellence and pollute it and turn it into better than. The ones to take the beautiful fluidity of excellence and freeze it into the ugly narrow-mindedness of better than. The ego that doesn't want you to be excellent, that wants you to rely upon it to take care of you. It wants to be your aid, to lead you down the tubes, as it were. And gosh, I didn't think it could happen to me. As the ego laughs and says, sucker, and walks away. Finally, free of your ego. Ego. And also the fear of ego that comes in there, all combined. The ego and the fear of ego. The ego that wants to be the one to do it for you so as you get the credit, so you can feel better than, that wants to freeze excellence into perfection and feel better than because of it. And also the fear of ego. I would hate to think I'm egotistical. I'd hate to have people accuse me of that. I've learned that I should never be better than. I should not be in my ego. And therefore, though I am in my ego, I don't want to look like it. And therefore, I better not be excellent. I better be mediocre. Because no one is going to accuse a mediocre person of being better than. No one would accuse someone who can't do anything quite right as being better than. Someone who's weak and someone who's falling apart. Someone who doesn't trust themselves or love themselves or feel any sense of quality or any respect for themselves. Certainly would not accuse me of being better than. So therefore I look the part like I don't have any ego. And therefore I can have all the ego I want. And because I'm so afraid of anyone even hinting that I might be in my ego, I won't be excellent and I won't have excellence. So the ego and the fear of ego, most clearly.
Now, if you get into eating a lot of food, it will make you sluggish, but it will also make you healthy. And it will serve you.
So what we normally tell them is we're going after an HVT. We're going to do a cordon and search, and this is our role in that cordon and search, and they conduct that operation.
Energy. Neutrinos, quarks. You see, energy that is raw has no direction, no form. But as it takes form and starts rotating at a frequency of vibration, some of that energy becomes neutrinos. Others of that energy become quarks. Others of that energy become those subatomic particles that society has given rather cute names to, such as faith and charm. And there are four others that your scientists have not yet conceived, but are there. But nonetheless, we would suggest here, these subatomic particles, a neutrino, no mass, no weight, nonetheless is energy that vibrates at a particular frequency. And that's form, as abstract as it seems. And from the raw energy, that's pretty nifty. To be able to hold a form, whoa, that's pretty nifty. Eh? That's really getting closer. But it isn't all. It isn't all yet. So subatomic particles then form themselves into atomic particles. Atomic particles, those things that you call electrons and protons and the space that is in between. In other words, the material, the stuff that makes up an electron are neutrinos.
the stuff that makes up a proton are neutrinos. The stuff that makes up the space in between the electron and the proton are neutrinos. But they're all vibrating at different frequencies, so one looks negatively charged like an electron, the other looks positively charged like a proton, and the other looks like it's not even there, like the space in between. But your scientists discovered that there's a tremendous energy in that space in between, such that causing a smashing of those atoms, called fission, produces an atomic and a hydrogen bomb, which now in your world now people are starting to reconsider their destructive capacity of the space in between. So it's not empty. It's more power often than the neutrinos that form the electrons or that form the protons are the neutrinos that form the energy in between. But at this point, these raw energy evolving, evolving, searching for all that is, becomes these subatomic particles. And these subatomic particles, searching for all that is, come to become the atomic particles. They become an electron. Can you believe it? I'm an electron. Isn't that fantastic? And I'm getting closer, because from the electron's point of view, all that is has to be an atom. Oh, that's got to be what it is, to be not just an electron and not just space and not just a proton, but to be the whole thing has got to be all that is, to be an electron, a proton, and the space in between, a hydrogen atom, one electron rotating around the proton. That's got to be all that is. But it's not. And as it reaches that stage and realizes this isn't all that is, it then forms without atoms, right? It forms with other atoms to form molecules that then move it to the next kingdom, which is that of the minerals, right? It becomes a mineral. It becomes a mineral. Well, boy, that's pretty nifty. That's quite a growth, but that's a whole new level. Now, what runs this level? What causes this level to run? Basically, from the raw energy to subatomic to atomic to atom, it's chemistry. Pure chemistry. The chemical relationship between the energy and is what drives it. What drives it? When you reach this next level of minerals are quite sedentary, whether they're the slightest molecule of gold or silver, or whether they're the entire mountain range, they're still quite sedentary. They can get around, but not when you're looking, at least, in that sense. And but they aren't satisfied. Minerals aren't satisfied with being minerals. They want to become something more. They too are in search for all that is. They're in search for that all that is. And then they become part of the plant kingdom. Plants are really fantastic compared to minerals, because plants can move one direction vertically, but they can move. That's quite an evolution. Well, I thought plants moved upon the ground. Yeah, but to them that's vertical. It's all in a point of perspective. It's vertical growth. Vertical growth, and that's wonderful. And then it moves on to that of the animal kingdom, which is really fantastic, because they can move in two directions. They can move laterally and vertically, and that same thing. That's fantastic, but still it's not all that is. And then they reach this thing that's called what we call the human animal, which is quite special kind of animal, because you can move laterally and vertically, and also with depth. You can remember where you've been in that regard. And we would suggest here that that's got to be all that is. From the mineral point of view, boy, that human animal thing, that's got to be all that is. And that's got to be all that is. And all of them, then they get there, and that's not all that is. There's got to be something beyond that of being the human animal, which you move into the next stage, which is, in that same thing, from human animal in that way, human animal, if you will, to that stage of being the human being that has consciousness, that has a conscious awareness of their consciousness, if you will, that human being that becomes what we call the magician, or that of the metaphysical human being, that becomes then the spiritual person, the spiritual person or the spiritual being, and that's got to be all that is, but it's not. There's another layer that involves your higher self, etc., etc. But we're not concerned with that tonight. We're concerned with these three levels to understand where you are and where you're going. All right, chemistry runs this level. But on this level, from mineral to plant to animal to human animal, you need more than just chemistry. You need now biology and instinct. So here is, atoms don't have instinct, nor do they have a biology in the sense they have a chemistry. Once you move to this level, in order to move from mineral to plant, you got to add biology, you got to add zoology, whatever. From plant to animal, you got to add biology. You had to have instinct. instinct, and the human animal in many ways functions on instinct. There aren't any human animals left in your world. They all reach the level of human being now. Some people may seem to function like animals, but they're human beings now. But you need biology, you need chemistry, you need instinct. But once you become a human animal and start moving, that's not enough. You got to have an ego. You got to have an ego that's going to do more than biology, do more than zoology, do more than chemistry, do more than instinct. You got to have an ego that can remember. You got to have an ego that has ability to function and work. And so in order to survive, you created an ego. Not to destroy you, not to trip you up, not as the monumental obstacle of your life, but as a friend, as a part of you that's supposed to help you function, that's supposed to help you grow, because your chemistry couldn't do it alone, though your chemistry does an awful lot. And your biology couldn't do it alone, though your biology does a tremendous amount. And though instinct, now called the autonomic nervous system and an involuntary nervous system, instinct does an awful lot, but you need more than that. You need an ego. And thus you develop an ego. What's your ego supposed to do? To understand what your ego is supposed to do, and admittedly, a lot of people haven't thought of it in this term. But it's important to understand that in your reality, which you do know, you have many worlds. You have many different worlds in your reality. You have a physical world, all right? That you know very well, or at least say you do. You know you have this physical world. And what's supposed to happen is that there's a certain amount of content in that physical world. And your ego is supposed to deliver the content to you. That's how you perceive in your world, how you know that this room has the kind of lighting that it does, that it has the kind of carpet that it does, that it has the chair, that when you came in the door, your ego delivered the information of dimension and which side of the room and this side, middle side, that side, and delivered the information to you. You, as a conscious being, have charge of the context and the form. The conscious mind or the conscious world has content. You then have the context and form. As you came into the room and saw the setup and where the chairs were and where the stage was and where the chantel would be sitting and this sort of thing, that information was delivered by your ego. Now, it was up to you to put it into context, since I'm here to learn and listen. I therefore want to sit in the front. Since I'm here to learn and listen, I therefore want to sit in the back. Ah, that's silly. You know you don't sit in the front. You know you don't sit in the back. You know the only place you can learn is in the middle. So I'm going to sit in the middle, and I have to sit on the right side. No, silly, it's got to be the left side. No, it's got to be right in the middle so I can see the blackboard and all that sort of thing. You decide, put it into context for yourself. Because I have problem hearing, I want to sit near the microphone outlets or to the other speakers. Because I have an oversensitivity to hearing, I want to sit away from them. Because I tend to be cold, I want to check for air conditioning ducts and not sit under one. Because I have a tendency to be, it's always close, always close. I therefore want to find one of those air conditioning ducts, and I want to sit under it. Therefore, I determine the context in this change. Now, if you came here to square dance, this room is all wrong. But if you came here to come to a workshop, hey, this is right, this will do it, absolutely. So the context and the form, and then you deliver back after you perceive from what the ego gives you, then you conceive what you can do about it. And you direct yourself to sit there, here, there, whatever in that sanction. You decide the context and form, but you see, that's just your physical world. And this is the job of the ego. That's what it's supposed to do, to give you the information, wait for your response, and then carry your response back. We've related it like a person who works in a mail room. They're supposed to bring the mail up to the CEO, slice it open and deliver it to the inbox and wait for anything to go to the outbox and deliver the mail and take it away. That's all the ego is supposed to do. Deliver the content and take the content away. That's what it's supposed to do in your physical world. But you have more than a physical world. You have this world that we call the inner world. The inner world of your own programmings, your own ideas, your own beliefs, your own attitudes that have been planted there since childhood and all through that. Beliefs, attitudes, thoughts, feelings, choices, decisions, precedents that you've set, platitudes, cliches, the whole shooting match. It's all there. Now, who delivers this information? Well, this information is delivered to you by the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is the one that lets you know what content it has. What's the content of this world? What beliefs are there? What attitudes are there? This is delivered by the...